Welcome to the Metal Hammer Podcast. It's episode 75. We're an unholy trinity again,
guys.
Finally, happy days.
Happy days.
I'm Mo. I'm here with Elle and Alice. How are you doing, guys?
Good.
Good.
Emphatic. That was an emphatic good there from Elle and Alice. Loads of stuff to talk about this week on the podcast. Don't forget that the latest issue of Metal Hammer is out right now. It is a Slipknot Spectacular, completely sold out online. Thank you so much for everyone who came in, picked up the issue on our website. We really appreciate the support. It's been a huge success. We're very excited about it. We put some bundles out. They all went straight away. You can't get hold of those anymore at all. You can still get the main run magazine in shops in the UK right now, though. So if you're collecting them all and you need to complete the set, or you still haven't got around to getting them yet, get out to shops right now. 9 different covers to collect. And each one comes with an art print by Luke Priest and an awesome covers album with some extra tracks on it as well. That is a big old tribute to all things Slipknot. It's really good. Go get it immediately. And also, we just casually counted down the 50 greatest Judas Priest songs ever in that issue as well, which we kind of haven't made as big a deal out of. That could have been a cover feature in itself, to be honest.
It could have been.
Maybe we should have done that and saved ourselves a hassle of trying to find more cover features.
Where were you 2 months ago when we decided to do that?
Well, there we go. What's been going on? Jamie Jester's been having a mare. Well, not been having a mare, he's been having a go.
Yeah, so he was on Twitter, wasn't he, asking who churches with a V were and why they were on a bill with Gojira.
Ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see all the action go down?
I saw a little bit of it. I didn't really fully read any of it. I just saw the verses, churches.
Yeah. So he commented, and then people started losing their shit, kind of saying metal shouldn't be elitist. It would help if he didn't kind of call out a band. And then the singer of Churches got on Twitter and said she'd seen Gojira and she'd seen, I think somebody mentioned Deftones. She'd seen Deftones.
Well, I've got Twitter up. So
there
I can,
you go. You can actually
you
read
the,
them out.
The cold hard facts. So yeah, Churches have been added to what's the Deftones festival called that they're doing again?
Dia de los Muertos.
Dia de los Muertos.
Is it?
Two.
Or Dia de los Deftones?
Something like that, yeah. It's like, it is a play on it. I can't remember.
Yeah. We're all good at our facts this morning.
Yay!
Wait, let me find it. It's the second time Deftones have done this special festival in honour of Dia de los Muertos, I guess. Yeah, Dia de los Deftones is taking place Saturday, November 2nd in Petco Park in San Diego, California. And it's a really cool and varied bill. You've got Brutus on there. You've got Youth Code, kind of industrial duo. JPEG Mafia's on there. And then you've also got, at the top of the bill, you've got Gojira, Churches, and Deftones. Churches are playing above Gojira. If you don't know what Churches are like, they're kind of like really nice, floaty, electronic pop, I guess.
Makes loads of sense if you know Chino's side projects.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And it's really, from top to bottom, it's quite a varied bill. But Jamie Jester of Hatebreed fame had some thoughts. I've now lost it because I was looking at the lineup. Hold on. So he wasn't very impressed, basically, that Churches, who are, they're not a new band, but they're a little bit younger than Deftones are, for instance, and a little bit younger than Gojira in particular. He's a bit annoyed that they were playing above Gojira on what is a festival essentially headlined by a metal band. His exact words were, duh, 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 duh. Who is Churches with a V? Churches do spell their U with a V. And why the fuck are they playing over Gojira? Get the fuck out of here. Sound like Joe Pesci. Get the fuck out of here. Have you ever heard the heaviest metal in the universe? You're going to get embarrassed off the stage. Lol. No offense. God, the industry music sucks sometimes. And then he replied to that saying, updated, Google Churches with a V. They got to be huge. They did a song with a guy with a marshmallow mask. People love it. Good for them. He's talking about the massively huge house DJ Marshmallow, who does wear a kind of giant marshmallow emoji on his head. And he did a song with Churches. So a few people had some thoughts on this. And it was an interesting response, because obviously you kind of would maybe expect people to go, especially in the metal scene, like, yeah, fuck that band. Like, how dare you headline above Gojira and blah, blah, blah. But actually, people kind of came in and went, that's a bit mean.
Yeah, I feel like it went the other way. I think there's this whole thing of music without genres now, and people just want to listen to what they listen to, and metal does have this reputation, you know, that's not metal, and being boxed into things and having to be a certain way. And a lot of people are saying, let's open it up a bit more. We don't want to be this closed subculture that the mainstream doesn't look at, this group of closed-minded people, where metal's meant to be a really open genre. Let's keep things open, let's accept people, let's listen to different kind of music. And I understand that.
Yeah, I think so. And to be fair to Jamie Jassy, he's like one of the safest, most
grounded guys going.
He is super metal, but he's also really nice. He's always been really cool to deal with, and he's more open-minded than he might come across in a thing like that. But he is super metal, and he is very much like a guardian of the scene, and he wants to see metal be given the platform it deserves. But the reality is, and then a few different people piled in. Including Lauren Mabry from Churches. She's a singer. She's cute. and she actually replied directly to Jamie saying, I saw Gojira in Glasgow years ago and I've seen Deftones 3 times, so I was excited when we got asked to be on the bill. Just because someone plays or listens to quote-unquote pop music doesn't mean they don't understand or appreciate other things. And to be fair to Jasta, he then replied to... she did that with the gif of the Rihanna eye roll when she's in the limo. You know that famous bit, that gif that you can find of the limo window sure. going up and Rihanna's yes. rolling her eyes?
I know.
Come on, guys,
Rihanna
go
memes.
On the internet.
Yes, sure.
Good grief. Come on. If I'm the hippest guy in the room, you know there's problems here, guys. Anyway, reply with a gif of Rihanna rolling her eyes. And Jamie replied to that going, oh, damn, just saw this. The Rihanna eye roll? Cold. It's cool you like heavy bands. My mistake. When I googled you, I saw a bunch of crap you got from Chris Brown and his fans. Now I feel bad. I don't know what the Chris Brown reference is, to be honest. So yeah, it's an interesting one. Kind of we talked about a little bit this kind of stuff with Glastonbury and how metal often doesn't feel like it gets a fair shake when it comes to mixing up with mainstream bands. But if you look at the facts, Gojira have been going longer and they are, in my, I think our opinion, a much better band than Churches, but Churches are quite good, and also they are much, 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 much bigger by every single conceivable measurement. Much bigger.
They've had a lot more commercial success, haven't they?
Yeah, but
because they're more mainstream band.
I'd probably still put them beneath Gojira, especially on a metal bill.
But it's not a metal bill. Yeah. It's a bill headlined by Deftones. Like JPEG Mafia is not metal. Youth Code aren't metal. Okay, they're really heavy, but they're not like a metal band, I wouldn't say.
And I don't think they're out of place at all in a Deftones curated lineup. If you listen to Palms, Crosses.
Yeah, no, I can see the sort of like why they'd be in there, especially them, because they're kind of like, I don't know, they've got that sort of slightly darker, you know, electronic vibe. Yeah. Yeah, they're not like, I don't know, happy. And
Jonathan, who obviously works at Hammer, he's a Churches fan, I think.
He is. He went somewhere to see them this year, didn't he?
And he is super, super metal and loves the extreme stuff.
I love Churches as well. I think they're awesome. Like, I saw them at Reading a few years ago. They were really good. But yeah, just in terms of size of each band, I'm pretty sure Churches will fill bigger venues over here than Gojira will. Maybe not much, but I reckon they will. I mean, they're a Scottish band as well, so I don't know. Maybe they're not as big like in the States and Europe. I don't really know what they do over there. But Gojira's biggest song has done just over 30 million, which is still area, on Spotify. And Church's biggest song has done 233 million. So it's like quite a big jump
gap
in terms of perception. But yeah, if it's a bill headline by Deftones, maybe Gojira could justifiably play higher up, but then presumably Churches will accept a certain sized fee, and I don't know. It's not a very easy thing to do when you're mixing up metal with non-metal acts.
I mean, I guess Jamie just had a reaction. He had no idea who the band were, and he just kind of went, what is this? What is going on? Like you said, being a gatekeeper and a guardian of the scene. But I don't, objectively, it just seems kind of like normal. I don't think there's anything that surprising about it, given that it is Deftones Festival and given what they sound like. It's kind of like, whatever, that's just a thing.
And I do like the idea of presuming that Church's fans are big enough fans to buy a ticket to this festival.
They'll see Gojira.
Yeah, they'll see Gojira.
That'll be amazing.
Which might not happen if they played the other way around.
Exactly. They might just leave.
And, you know, I'm sure for most people, it'll probably be a bit too heavy because they are fucking heavy. But at the same time, I'd like to think that some people will come away going, I've got no reference point for what I've just seen. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
I hope so too. Because they are one of those bands as well. They are heavy, but there's a lot of melody in what they do as well. And having seen them at Brixton recently in that amazing show, if they bring even a tiny bit of that, you kind of hope people do sit back and are like, what is this? I want to know more about it.
Definitely. It's hard with metal, isn't it? Because Gojira are a massive band within our scene. They're one of the biggest and most important metal bands of the 21st century. And hopefully they'll be able to get onto a platform where they can maybe headline arenas over here and across Europe at some point. But if you're much more mainstream friendly, you can end up doing that on like your second album. Again, I don't actually know what venues Churches do, to be fair. I might be overselling them a bit, but I can imagine there's a lot of people that have heard their biggest songs compared to people who have heard Gojira songs.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a really difficult thing to compare to each other. But I would go to that bill. I'll go see that.
I'd love to see that.
JPEG Mafia, bit of Youth Code, bit of Churches, bit of Gojira. Bit Deftones.
How did this all end? How did it actually play out?
They're all friends now, I think, because like I said, Jamie saw, I've forgotten her name already. Was it Lauren?
Yeah, Lauren Mayberry.
Yeah, Lauren. Jamie saw Lauren's tweet back at him and just kind of said, oh, sorry, my bad, blah, 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 blah. I didn't know friends. Like, Jamie's not the kind of guy that's going to go actually start shit with pop acts. I think he's making a fair point about
really
where
cool
metal
well.
Stands.
Like,
in the.
He's usually massively PMA and like, totally positive about things and championing people's power to affect change and all the rest of it. So I can't see he'd actually have a problem with it knowing all the details of it. Maybe it's just a sort of gut reaction thing.
And I think the general consensus seems to be that people do quite like Churches, like even in the metal scene.
Yeah,
I think they're quite a credible band.
Yeah.
It's not like
Justin Bieber or something.
Yeah, or like, I don't know. Mason Ramsey or something, do you know what I mean?
I don't
like,
know who he is.
Yeah, you do. The yodeling Walmart kid who's just been put on Old Town Road.
Yeah, no, I do.
Yeah. So there we go. Anyway, everyone's friends now. We love Hatebreed and Churches. Let's all be best mates forever. That's the way to be. Elle went to quite an interesting gig this week.
I did.
Tell us about it immediately.
It was super cool. It was a band called Bloodywood, and they are an Indian metal band from New Delhi, I think. And they had a viral video a couple of years ago called Ari Ari. It's at like 3.5 million views on YouTube. And so
absolute banger of a video as well.
It's really good. Go and check that out if you haven't. And they came and played a small venue upstairs at Islington Academy. I think probably just a couple of hundred people. And it's not a great place to see bands particularly. It's just literally kind of a basic room. But they came on with so much energy. And it's basically like they're an Indian new metal band that kind of bring the sounds of India into new metal. And the crowd were obviously sort of a mixture of metal fans. And there are a lot of Indian metal fans there, which is really cool because you don't get a huge amount of Indian metal bands coming over. Like Sky Harbor, the last one that I remember seeing. Although the scene in India was obviously really big. Yeah. And they have like a singer and a rapper who kind of interchange the vocals. And then they have like a backing track. Well, I couldn't see the back of the stage, so I don't think they had all their instruments with them. I think they had some of a backing track, but it's such a tiny crowded venue, it's hard to see. But they had a really cool guy who was the MVP, who was playing a flute. He was great. I don't know what kind of flute.
The most metal wind instrument.
I couldn't see close enough to see what kind of flute it was or take a guess. But he had some kind of flute. Or you know, whistle. I think it was a flute though.
We need someone to clear this up for us. If anyone was there or knows the band, can you clear up what instrument this was,
basically,
that was getting blown?
It looked to me like some kind of tin whistle, but their Facebook page lists a flute and I thought maybe it's some kind of Indian flute that I don't know the name for, so I couldn't really see. But it sounded really, really cool. Like they were just all this energy. They were just bouncing around the stage. They were just really going for it because obviously it's the first time they toured Europe. It's the first time they played in London. They were super hyped to be there. Before they even hit the stage, people in the crowd were screaming, like boy band level screaming.
Wow.
Some people had come I don't know if you could call it cosplay. Some people had come in sort of traditional Indian dress, but weren't Indian. I don't know what that was about. That was a bit random.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what that whole thing was about, but there you go. There are a couple of people who've done that as well.
Wow.
There were two kids there.
That'd be seen as hashtag problematic in today's...
As in cultural appropriation. Yeah. Could be.
I mean, it is, but I don't... But let's not get into that for now.
Yeah, I mean, that's another discussion. But people... What I'm trying to get across is that people were well into them. And there were two kids there... And probably, I don't know, about the age of 7 or so, under 10, but higher than 5.
Okay.
But there was like...
You said this the other day, that you just can't tell the age of children.
No, I didn't say that. That was one of my friends said that when we were out. I have a niece and nephew who helped me guess around the ages of children. Anyway, they were sort of like end of primary school age. And they're... I was like, wow, look, there's kids here. And their dad was like laughing and he goes to me like, oh, they made me come here and stuff. But, you know, it was funny. He'd obviously got into the band and brought them along.
Yeah.
And they were really positive as well. Like they had all these positive messages. You know, if you've seen the video, you'll kind of know a bit about that. They said they're talking about using their worst moments to fuel them to become our best. They said, oh, they did a song about depression. They said, we want to talk about a disease that is killing many of us. It lives at the bottom of a deep, dark pit. It has so many faces. Maybe that's why it's so hard to believe in. This monster has a name. It's called depression. So I don't know. They were just like, they were just really, really super hyped, really super stoked. And everyone there was really super stoked. So it's just this, you're looking at me as if you're like going to say something.
No, not at all. Not at all. I was going to crack a joke in the middle of that thing about the monster being like, sounding like some swamp monster or something, but then it turned into quite a...
A depression monster.
Yeah, quite a pertinent, like, nice point, so I just shut up.
And they did that thing a lot of bands are doing where they do speak about depression and they made people put their hands in the air if they'd ever struggled with it and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a big part of their thing is this whole positive mental attitude sort of a deal. But their music's not preachy. Some of it's sung in English, some of it's sung in Indian... But
you wish you looked up which dialect, didn't you?
I don't know what dialect it's sung in. Something.
It'll be online somewhere.
Yeah, please go and chat because I have no idea. I wish I'd done some research now.
So you were going to take a gamble with that, weren't you?
I just thought I'd go generic.
Oh, dear.
I don't know. I don't know what dialect it is. So anyway, they're really good. And I hope they come back. And I hope they get booked for a festival because I'd love to see them play somewhere like Download. I think it would go off. Fun new metal. Bloody wood. They're cross between kids. Bollywood and new metal.
Yeah, I think that the video you talked about that went viral was awesome. Like, Ari Ari, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, just absolutely awesome. Very, very cool indeed. Awesome band. Really good to see bands from... places in the world that don't get maybe as much support or coverage as they could do make it over here. So hopefully we'll see them back over here very soon. And I'm sure you'll read all about them in Metal Hammer very soon indeed as well. What is going on in the world of metal? Big Tool news. Big Tool news this week. We officially have an album title, guys. Finally.
Mm-hmm.
Finally. Someone tell me about it.
The album will be called Fear Inoculum.
Yeah. What the fuck does that mean?
Well, fear is being scared.
I got that bit.
And inoculum is...
That's like...
Vaccinating.
Yeah, vaccinating against diseases. Yeah. So
it's vaccinating against fear.
So they could have just called it brave. Being brave.
They could. But they've called it vaccinating against fear. I guess implying...
Quite a stirring album title, to be fair.
Implying that you should vaccinate yourself against fear.
There you go.
Yeah.
Don't be scared. Out August 30th. And the other big news, maybe even bigger news in some ways, is that Tool's back catalogue is finally coming to streaming platforms this Friday.
Woo.
So people who have either never even listened to Tool before or who have done but haven't dusted off their CDs or records in about 10 years, we can all finally just listen to Tool on our phones. Think of that. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun, yeah.
What's the first song you're going to play, Elle?
Parabola.
Nice. Nice. What else is going on? There's a big old tour coming. This tour's gonna be amazing. The thrashiest tour ever, maybe. Testament, Exodus and Death Angel are all teaming up for a UK tour that's going to be hitting these shores in March 2020. They call it the Bay Strikes Back Tour. That's going to be a bit good, isn't it? Bit of that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. Good. Glad you're both as excited as I am.
Brilliant. Sorry, I was distracted. I forgot to listen. I was trying to look up what language Bloody
Woods. I know you were, and I've been trying to cover you for the last 20 seconds.
I think they sing in Punjabi, but I'm not sure.
Okay, good.
It's hard to Google it.
It is. It's because we're all ignorant idiots, but I know. We can work it out.
I hate myself.
I don't hate yourself. You still want to see the band. Just, you know.
I bought a t-shirt as well. I love them so much. Shut up. This makes it even worse. I don't even know what language I'm listening to. That's why I hate myself.
Yeah, okay. Well,
do they sing bits in English?
Yeah, they do. Anyway, you were talking about a tour that I wasn't listening to. Just talk about it again. I'll join in.
That's fine. So, Testament, Exodus and Death Angel are teaming up for a UK tour.
Yay!
And as I said, it's going to be called The Bass Strikes Back. It's going to be thrash as fuck. That should be really, really good. Three bands that are, I guess, are all kind of pitching just outside the big four.
I like the name, The Bass Strikes Back.
They could be called like the secondary three. The second biggest three.
Yeah, rolls off the tongue really nicely.
Get creator in there and you've got the slightly less but still big four. Perfect.
That's cool. I mean, I was never really into those bands particularly, but Testament came and played here quite a lot. Like, I don't know, a couple of years ago, there was a spate of them coming around like every few months seemingly. And I really enjoyed them. I thought Chuck Billy was really cool and really good front man, and I don't know, it was just really, really fun band. I don't think I quite realized like how fun some of those older bands are.
Yeah, definitely.
I just kind of like thought, oh, they're just like old bands that I'm not really fussed about, and then actually watching them, I was like, there's loads of fun to be had here.
Yeah, definitely. That's going to be a hell of a tour. A lot of battle jackets and denim at that, I reckon, and battle vests is what I meant to say.
Are you going to wear yours?
I don't have one.
I'm sure you do.
Well, I've got a denim vest. I haven't put any patches and stuff on it yet though.
So. What are you going to put in it?
I've got a couple of Maiden patches that I've been saving. I've got a Ghost patch somewhere. And I haven't thought further beyond it apart from that because I haven't worn it in about 18 months. So
please send in some patches and then Merlin is going to have to put them on his jacket.
Yeah.
Send us some patches.
Yeah, sure. Okay. If people actually send patches to the Metal Hammer office, I will actually put them on my jacket.
I'll take any that you don't want.
As long as they're not like racist or something. But apart from that,
I would love to see
whatever
what
you want.
Send,
it'll go on there.
And then I'd love to see them just all go on the jacket. It's like a crowd-funded jacket.
Yeah, maybe it would probably be one of those ones that you're like, what? You've got those two bands on the same jacket next to each other?
Oh, you should get a Party Cannon patch. That's the best logo.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Have you seen that band, Alice?
I haven't seen them.
They're a black metal band, but their logo is like done in like party balloons. So
yeah, no,
always...
I've seen the logo.
Oh, you've seen the logo? Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
I just haven't seen them.
No, I haven't seen them live.
Yeah. Oh, I heard they were really good live though.
They fucking better be with a logo like that. Yeah. If they were just like a straight up black metal band, that'd be really disappointing. But I've got no idea. Yeah, so if anyone wants to send me patches, I'll put it on my battle jacket vest and I'll go to the Bay Strikes Back and get beaten up because people have sent me weird shit.
But you wish I hadn't joined in now.
Yep, I do. Rammstein are playing. Rammstein have announced another UK date. Massive news. Mm-hmm. They're playing Cardiff Principality Stadium on June 14th. It's a big stadium as well, big rugby stadium. So it's quite a level up from the Coventry and Milton Keynes stadiums that they've already played or have announced. So this is June 14th. This is download weekend, I believe, isn't it?
I was confused about that. It's traditionally the kind of weekend they have download on. And I was thinking, does that mean they're playing their own show so they wouldn't be playing download?
Yeah. But then
or
they could
does
do
it mean
one day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Does it mean that they're going to do two shows because they've got two setups
That is actually download weekend. It's the Sunday of download.
They've got two setups of their stage, so they could technically have a setup at Download and a setup at Cardiff and have the crew in the country to be working on those shows. It kind of makes sense to almost do two in one. But by the same token, why do Download if you can do your own shows? So I literally have no idea.
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, Rammstein has been not quite the biggest game in town because we've had Metallica over here and stuff, but it's been kind of the most hyped live show in town this year.
It was the best thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, there you go. And so if Download can get them and make it work with that, because they'd have to have their own stage and stuff, wouldn't they? So I just think, I don't know. If it can happen, I'm sure Download will try and make it happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's just not feasible.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they just did the AC/DC thing and they just had a separate stage for Rammstein, which is one of their stage setups, played there, and then, you know, 2 days later they go and play Cardiff with their other setup while the Download one's being broken down. Like, that wouldn't surprise me either. It's just, would they do that, or would they just not have like another UK date or something?
Two days apart for a gig that big is mad, though. Even if you've got multiple setups and stuff, that just seems insane.
Well, you'd have two of everything. You have two of the stage set up, two sets of pyro, like everything.
So I still don't understand how they do that. It's,
well,
they build
one stage, and at the same time as that one, they're building another one somewhere else.
No, I understand that logistically. I'm talking about, you know, Rammstein are a big band, but they're not Metallica big. That's a lot of money you're spending.
Yeah,
you're spending.
No, I know.
You're basically putting together the most expensive stage show ever twice.
I know, because I got a ticket for the Coventry one. It's like £80, which was similar price to London, same price actually. And you
Milton
kind of,
Keynes, actually.
Oh, Milton Keynes, whatever. I don't remember. I just got on a train, okay, and I was there.
Home counties will not be overlooked, all right?
I'm sorry. Milton Keynes show. And yeah, it's just, I think I mentioned before, it's really weird because you're kind of watching it going like, I understand now why my ticket cost £80, because they need venue hire, security, like, and that all the pyro, all the production, all the crew, like, how many people are involved in this? And you're sort of then kind of going, actually, it seems really cheap. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, if there's ever a stage show worth paying that for, it's that. But yeah, then
maybe
they
just buy all their pyro in bulk and you get a discount.
Just from like a corner shop.
Yeah, can I have 5 rockets, please?
Got some guy that gives them a deal.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's going to be mad. But will they play Download? We will see, I guess. I did see someone from Live Nation publicly on Instagram saying that some kind of lineup announcement might happen soon. I don't know if that means. I don't know what soon means. It could mean 4 or 5 months from now. But who knows? Who knows? And we literally don't know, by the way. We're not covering for anything. So we'll have to wait and see, like everyone else.
I just want to see that show again really, really, really badly.
And you are, aren't you?
Yeah, Coventry. Yeah,
there you go. So.
Yeah, but it's in a year.
Your wish is your command.
It's in a year.
Worth the wait, though.
An actual year. I'll be a whole year older.
You have to wait a year. You know.
I want to say it now.
I can't help you with that. Let's take some questions from facebook.com/metalhammerreaders. Who wants to do this?
I'll do it.
Go on then.
Andre Lascu asks, any hopes for a new Metallica album?
Yes, eventually.
How long?
Absolutely. Well, it's been 2.5 years since, nearly 3 years actually, since Hardwired already. I don't think we'll get another Metallica album for at least a couple more years because they are just finishing up the final legs of their stadium European tour. And it would not surprise me if we end up seeing them do a festival or something next year as well. They'll probably do, or maybe they'll go do the American festivals next year. And then they might do the European festival the year after that. I think Metallica can tour off an album as long as they want to be honest. And then they do things like they'll do an Escape from the Studio tour, and then they'll do an album anniversary tour, or they'll do some crazy thing like do Glastonbury or do By Request or something.
Or a film.
Or a film, yeah. Like, it doesn't take much for Metallica to procrastinate away from doing an album. But I definitely want another Metallica album, because I thought Hardwired for the most part was brilliant. So
do you think we should do an office sweepstake where we all just take bets on how long it will take, and then you get additional like points/money for any extra ventures you correctly guess?
Yes, but I don't want to organize that because it sounds really confusing.
Alice, you can organize it.
No, you, well, your idea
exactly. But yeah, I definitely want a new Metallica album. But I'm going to see them in Prague in 2.5 weeks. Shit.
You're so going to have such a great time.
It's going to be good. Although apparently BA are going on strike in a couple of weeks. So maybe I won't get there after all.
Are you with
who
BA?
Knows? That's
are
who we're
flights?
Flying with. Yeah.
And
apparently the deadline with which they have to inform passengers they're off is like that weekend. So that will be the first weekend where it all gets scuppered if it goes ahead. So
maybe it's time to start looking up alternative flight plans.
Maybe it is.
Mm. Or walk there.
No, we'll see. To be continued.
Swim and walk. Swim and then walk.
Oh, set off now.
I'll probably have to. Trent Swindles asks, what happened? It's very sumptuous, Trent. What happens when the new Tool album just ends up being a pretty good Tool album instead of breaking the universe in half with its awesomeness? Is it possible to live up to 13 years?
No, and that's exactly what's going to happen.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Ooh, big call from Alice straight off the bat. Are you a Tool fan? I can't remember what you said.
I don't mind them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember I was talking about them after download. But you're the wrong person to ask then, surely.
Alice just likes Schadenfreude. Is that how you pronounce it? Schadenfreude? How do you say that word?
I think it's Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude. You love it when, like, a band has an album out that you don't like and then people don't like it. You're like, ha, 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 I always knew they were rubbish.
Serves you right for liking them.
Yeah. Stupid people.
Yeah, stop getting so excited.
You like music, prick.
I get excited about albums as well. But
well, after 13 years, you hope it's going to be good, right? But it's just, like you said, people have certain expectations and it's whether it meets those expectations or whether it falls short of those expectations. If you've heard the new Tool songs, Invincible and Descending, you probably have an idea of what the album will sound like based on those songs. And so I would say that's something to go on at least. You can kind of adjust your expectations accordingly.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. Songs getting, I feel like it's quite rare that I can remember bands playing new songs that were unreleased where I felt like they made an impact and therefore that informed the album. Do you know what I mean?
You're going to have to hear them within the whole, yeah. And you have to hear them recorded with no other stuff there.
Yeah. Like I remember when Metallica started playing new stuff off Death Magnetic and it was like, you just couldn't really say anything for it because it was like, oh, this bit of riff sounds good. And that's Metallica, not Tool.
Well, they did like Lords of Summer, you mean?
No, for Death Magnetic. So when they started playing Cyanide, but they hadn't labeled it then and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I'm talking like 2006. Lords of Summer isn't very good. So that was which I think is proven because it wasn't put on the album in the end.
Wasn't there.
Apart from the extended edition. I can't remember. I remember when seeing AFI playing Dancing Through Sunday for the first time at the AFI. The Astoria. and that sounded banging. But I was a hyped up kid then, so I probably would have thought anything they released sounded banging. Otherwise, I don't think it's very easy to make new songs click if you haven't heard the album.
One of my friends is going to get in a darkened room and literally darken all the windows and shut all the doors and everything and just barricade himself in it. And he wants to get people round to listen to it all at once.
Wow. I think the new Dark Crystal series is getting released on the same day as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of acid going to get dropped that day. Not by me. Don't do that. That's probably what I'll be doing when the Tool album's out. Just watching elves scamper around with Skeksis. That'd be fun. Gelflings, not elves. Fixed myself.
We didn't really answer that, did we?
Well, that's because it's very assumptuous. That's for Trent to decide on how he will feel. If he's underwhelmed by the Tool album, then I guess the universe won't break in half.
I don't think it'll break in half anyway.
Well, we'll see.
Thanks,
won't
for
we?
Your contribution.
You can take the next question, Alice, for that rudeness about our Tool.
It's another Tool one.
Is it? Oh yeah, this is a good one though. Eleanor will definitely have to answer.
Jamie Phillips says, I'm going to try and get into Tool when the music starts streaming. What are the best albums to start with for a complete beginner?
I would start with Lateralis, Jamie 100% Phillips.
100% would agree.
Because I think that's the easiest to get into in terms of everything really. I think it's kind of really where a lot of their sort of themes and sound crystallized. I think it's kind of got a mixture of their sort of longer songs and shorter songs. It's got loads of like amazing hooks on it. It's just a really great record and I think something that has stood the test of time as well. Whereas if you go back right to the beginning, definitely do that. Listen to Opiate and Undertow. They're more kind of accessible, raw metal songs that are really, really cool. That's kind of where they started from. And then the last couple of records, 10,000 Days, the last one, is more of their proggy side and it's quite personal. Maynard talks about his mum who died of a brain aneurysm 10,000 days after she, well, she was paralyzed by a brain aneurysm, and 10,000 days is the period she lived with that condition, and then before she died. And so he's kind of singing about how she's, you know, all the things she's had to go through, and now she's going home to meet her maker and that kind of thing. And it's really quite emotional, long road, so probably not something you'd want to jump into straight away with about without a bit of a run-up. Anima is the one that kind of went triple platinum and really kind of took off for them, so that's a really good one as well. But yeah, just as a kind of solid, I want to feel for what this band is about and what they do and what they write about, I'd definitely say head for Lateralis.
Nice. Do you know what we should do?
What?
We should put together a beginner's guide to Tool playlist and put it out on the website.
Probably
on Friday.
Should do that, yeah.
Yes.
Let's do that.
And let's do it first thing, because now loads of people will hear this and have the same idea. If you are wanting to get into Tool, we'll get Elle to conduct and put together an ultimate beginner's guide to the songs that will get you into them properly, which we'll put that out on Friday when the Tool back catalogue hits streaming platforms. So we will do that.
I'm excited for everyone to hear them, because obviously you can still hear music that's not on streaming platforms, but you have to go out and make the effort. And a lot of people have kind of heard of Tool and not really heard them. And I think it's been really cool that people, it's just going to be easier for people to hear them. And
it
I'm
makes
excited.
It's so accessible. Like with everything, you're like, oh, I haven't heard of, like you hear of a new band and you can just easily just go and listen to the whole album or whatever. And like, I still buy records and stuff with
you disgust
Spotify.
Me.
And I also have Spotify Premium, so I pay for it. But I just think it's a really good thing for bands and just getting into bands. And
I'm just excited. It makes me excited when people are excited about music. It's just up a big whole loop of excitement. And I think it's cool that people are going to hear these songs that I've loved and other people have loved for a really long time.
How do you listen to Tool now?
Oh, I don't listen to it on the move. I listen to it in my house.
Like CDs or records?
I've got music on a server.
Good old digital. Yeah, I've got Tool music on digital somewhere, but yeah. I haven't sat down and listened to Tool for years.
But I never listen to
reason.
Them when I'm on the move, because I haven't got a lot of music on my phone, because I just use Spotify. I've got a few albums on there, but I barely bother. So yeah, just like in their house.
Fair.
don't know if that's a good answer. That's the real answer.
Although we should say, I imagine it will also be hitting Deezer amongst other streaming platforms. We are, of course, got a few bits up on Deezer if you want to check all those out.
Do it.
Jeremy asks, what bands have only gotten better over the years versus ones that... Well, what bands have only got better over the years? What ones have only gotten worse? I don't think you can really pick bands that were shit to start with and that have got worse, because that kind of doesn't count.
I don't know, that's really hard, isn't
it?
Yeah,
I couldn't think of it. Couldn't think of any.
I had a couple that came to mind for worse, and I felt really bad to say it.
Go on.
In Flames.
Oh, yeah.
And it really breaks my heart to say that, because I think they had a real mid-noughties renaissance, and I liked... I really liked Sounds of a Playground Fading, and I really liked the one before it that had the Mirror's Truth on it. Come Clarity is brilliant, but generally speaking, they were kind of one of the single greatest metal bands of all time in the 90s. And then they were still really solid into the 2000s. And then kind of since the 2010s, since 2010, the last three albums really haven't done anything for me at all. And it's at the point now where I'm just like, I kind of checked out a bit with In Flames personally.
Sad times.
Although I don't know if that opinion shared, the last album seemed to get pretty
one
well received.
A bit more. I thought they actually kind of returned to some of their old energy. I definitely felt that sort of a bit of an upswing.
I think
there.
A few people felt that. I saw a few people in bands that I follow really bigging it up. So I don't know if I was in a bit of a minority on that one, but generally speaking, I feel like it's slumped a bit.
I didn't mind the one that was like 2014, maybe it would have been
Siren Charms.
Yeah, I didn't mind that one, but I don't like the last one. I really didn't like it at all. Yeah, I tried and I was like, oh no.
That's no. Pretty damning.
It's the same
because I saw them on Siren Charms, and I wasn't that big on the album, but I saw them at Shepherd's Bush Empire, and they were fucking great that night. They were so good, and like the new song sounded pretty good. So that's 5 years ago now, but they can still kill it live. But I don't know, it's just not for me where they've gone.
I'm one of those people who was obsessed with hybrid theory and liked Meteora and then just kind of slipped away from Linkin Park because I just didn't feel as excited by the direction they went in.
They just changed, didn't they?
They just
became
changed,
a different
yeah.
band. They totally outgrew nu metal and became this kind of more polished alternative rock band, I guess you would call it.
Last time I saw them when they, well, I think it was the time when they did Hybrid Theory at Download and they did a second set, which was all kind of a mixture of their back catalogue. I did find myself going, actually, I really like this song. I like this song. Like for the singles, I realised that I did actually all the singles, but there were a lot of stuff on the albums that I just wasn't too into. It just wasn't for me anymore.
Yeah. No, I get that. I did quite like the album they did where they went a bit heavier and they got Darren from System in for that one song.
I want to say The Hunting Party, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think
know.
It was The Hunting Party. Yeah, I think so. Like,
I know the one you mean, yeah.
That's a good tune on it.
But that's the thing. I like those kind of individual tracks, but when it came down to sitting down, I would never really sit down and put on those records.
Fair.
It didn't mean they got worse. It was just I changed.
I think a lot of the... I mean, Linkin Park obviously did age well because they became one of the biggest bands in the world. But
I
think a lot of the bands from the nu metal era didn't age spectacularly, to be honest.
No.
American Head Charge. There's a band that started off amazing and I don't even know. They just kind of went, Head afterwards. PE. Yeah,
Static X,
yeah. I didn't ever really listen to the albums after Machine, to be honest.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Machine, I think a lot of people just drifted away and...
In terms of bands that have only gotten better and better, I mean...
Gojira, 100%.
Yeah, Gojira is a brilliant shout. Architects as well, I'd probably put in that bracket. Again, I think you can pick between certain albums you like a bit better than others, but in terms of general...
There was that big leap, I think, you know, when they did Lost Forever, Lost Together.
Yeah, definitely.
That was like, whoa.
That's what I mean, like, you might like Lost Forever more than... Is it All Our Gods was the next one?
All Our Gods Have Abandoned Us.
Yeah, like you might like that more than that, or you might like one more than the other. But in terms of general momentum, Architects is a good shout. Gojira is a good shout.
Parkway Drive. They got
I was
going to
say
better.
Parkway, yeah. Definitely. Like they've now one of the best live... Well, they've always been brilliant live, but now they're one of the like, best live attractions going.
Yeah.
Baroness as well. Although, actually, they've always just been sick. So I don't know if you could say they just got better and better. No, I can't really say Maiden.
Oh, what? Were you going to say were you going to cuss out your favourite band?
No, I was going to say Maiden have in some ways only got better and better because their live show has continually been brilliant and they've just always been brilliant. There's something about them that's more accomplished in their songwriting now, I guess. And their stage shows just seem to get more and more mad. So live, in that sense, they just keep getting better because they've always been brilliant live. But, I mean, that Legacy of the Beast set last year was out of control. Rammstein as well, a band that just get better and better and better in terms of their live show. Which just when you think they can't set their own bar any higher, they go and do it, don't they?
Roller Tomasi was listening to them last night. They've just got better and better.
Yep, definitely.
So much emotion in that last record. Yeah. And just keep on going as well, like... They've always been sort of a big band in the underground. They've not gone massively mainstream or anything, but they're just better and better and better.
Yeah. Agreed. Hooray for good bands.
There's so many bands.
Deep. do you want to do the next one?
Sometimes I say things like Ralph Wiggum and I can't help it.
Sometimes there are many bands.
Exactly. Scott S. asks, who's got a better tan? Clearly me.
I don't know.
Clearly me, Scott S.
Put my arm next to their legs.
I am.
No, I've got a better tan than you.
Yeah, because I was just about to say,
have... Yeah, my legs aren't as tanned as my arms.
I have...
I think they're not that great anymore.
All the tan of a vanilla ice cream.
I think the correct answer is none of us. Is that me?
Look at me next to you guys. I literally look like... I've never seen
this. Well, the answer is not Al. Put it that way.
I think my shoulder's the best bit.
I don't
tan. Oh, yeah, that's got some colour.
I don't tan. I just literally look like...
pasty.
I just literally look like milk.
Milk with eyes.
Yeah, I'm just milk with eyes. What are those lollipops that are just milk frozen?
Mini milks!
Yeah,
oh, my God, I've got a ton
of
them. You can get like 9 of them from Aldi for like 85p. They're so sick. But they're like off-brand ones, but they taste so good. I was smashing like 8 of them the other day when it was really hot. Amazing.
If you just like colour one of them in with a pink marker for some pink hair and put eyes on them, that's me.
Milk with eyes.
The vanilla one.
Oh, dear. Do you want to do the last question, Milky McMilkerson.
You got me Milky. That's a horrendous name.
El Milko.
Sirius 8 Black. Why are you laughing so hard? Sirius 8 Black asks, which factors do you take... Shut up. Sorry. I'm just pale, okay? It's fine. I can deal with it.
Which factors
do you take into consideration when determining whether a cover is successful?
Sweet, sweet sales.
I was going to say sales.
Yeah, if a cover sells well, it's good. We've kind of touched on this stuff before, but obviously when you put Iron Maiden on the cover or Slipknot on the cover of Metal Hammer, you know that it is going to sell more magazines than if you put a younger band on the cover or a smaller band on the cover or maybe a slightly less kind of quote-unquote true metal band on the cover. So you set slightly different targets and slightly different ambitions for what you want covers to do. Part of the reason we have introduced things like bundles as alternative ways to make a big fuss out of bands is because it means we can justifiably take some risks. And maybe we won't see, we put a band like Sabaton on the cover, for instance. We want to do that because they're a modern metal band doing great things. And we want to celebrate that. But we know that that's not going to, sell as many issues as Slipknot do or Metallica do. They're just not. So we might do a bundle with them or we might do something else with them that makes them, that means we know we can still create something that fans are excited about and fans want to be a part of. But we'll also kind of pull us back some revenue that maybe we might lose on the newsstand compared to doing one of the quote unquote big bands. And so from that point of view, we're able to kind of find success in most issues we do now because we're realistic about what you can do with putting different bands on the cover now. And we kind of adjust our methods of doing that accordingly. That's quite a long-winded way of doing it, but basically there's different ways to measure success when you're dealing with magazines now, and I think we've seen some real success on different levels this year with the way we've started to think about how we present Metal Hammer and the bands we cover, which is really good, and we really appreciate the fact that our readers are still sticking with us. You're still picking up the magazine, you're picking up the bundles, you're coming to the website. That to us is success, and we're really happy to be in the position we're in at the moment, which is nice. Isn't it?
It is, and it's nice to have the issue at the moment with Slipknot with 9 covers.
9 covers.
That is super cool. It's just cool.
9 covers. Yeah, that's another good example. We know Slipknot are out there a lot. You see Corey Taylor giving his latest opinions on the internet every single week. They're not the same kind of completely out there mysterious band that you don't hear about anymore until they've got a new album out. Like, by the time Slipknot have a new album out, you've heard Corey talking about it for like 3 months straight. So doing things like that is just a nice, fun way to make more of an event out of it, make fans feel excited about it, like we're excited about it. We'll never do anything on Metal Hammer that we don't feel excited about and that we wouldn't feel excited about as fans, because that's what we ultimately still are. And, that's how it's going to stay.
That is true.
Motherfucker.
We're all, fighting in the office over who got which person, which copy we wanted. Yeah. I wanted a gym, but I still want a clown. I don't know if there are any left.
I'm a big fan of Tortilla Guy.
He surprisingly sold very well.
Yeah, well, they all sold out, but he sold out fairly quick.
Yeah, which was because we thought maybe he wouldn't sell out as quickly because people didn't know him as well, but he did.
Tortilla Guy making big moves in the Slipknot world.
Good mask, though.
And on that note, again, thanks to people that have picked up the issue. You can still go and pick it up now for a couple more weeks or so. I think it's going to be on sale in the UK. So get on it immediately. Don't miss out because, those covers are becoming increasingly hard to get hold of. We will see you all next week. Have a lovely time. And that's it. I'm trying to think of something else to make this sign off more interesting, but...
Have we been really quiet, Milan? Is that the problem if we let you do all the talking? Well, me and Alice, we've got the couch.
No, you've been all right.
Me and Alice have got the couch today, yeah. So we're just kind of flopping about a bit on the couch. Whereas you've got a chair, an adult human.
I know, I feel really on it. I feel like I'm the producer. I'm just all right, guys, come on.
Yeah, we're
this.
Just kind of having a little chill, aren't we?
Yeah, just want to just chill here.
Our recording situation is so much more relaxed now because we're in the nice soundproof room. We've got these better mics. We've got a sofa. Oh, it's good times ahead.
Send everyone patches. Send everyone patches. Everyone,
no, what?
Everyone send patches for Merle. We want to make this jacket happen.
Let's do it. Send me the most ridiculous, awesome, non-offensive patch you can, and I will put it on my battle jacket. If you can do it in the next 10 days, I'll do it and wear it to Bloodstock. How about that? But I'm not going to do it if there's only like one Taylor Swift patch in the top left-hand corner. It's got
can
to be
you sew?
No.
Aww.
Obviously not.
How are you going to put them on?
I know some people.
Okay.
See you next week, everybody.
Bye.